Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 35 to 44. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our returning Savior, whom we eagerly watch and faithfully await, dear fellow redeemed. It is still Tuesday of Holy Week. 2 weeks ago we heard that Jesus put the Pharisees and Sadducees in their place by answering their attacks with the Word of God. And then we were told, and no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. That doesn't mean that Jesus didn't talk to the people. In fact, the rest of that Tuesday, he spoke to them, and again on Thursday, about the end times, Judgment Day, his return, and his coming, and the destruction of the world. This morning's sermon text, and the next couple of Sundays after our Reformation sermon next Sunday, will be based on these same truths from both the Gospel of Matthew and from Mark. Jesus spoke these truths about the future, but they apply very practically to our present. He spoke them for two reasons. One, he spoke them, first of all, to the unbelievers, to those who were safe in their sins, they felt, didn't believe in Jesus as their Savior, didn't believe that God would come at the end of time and have to stand there before judgment of God. Words of warning, words of judgment. Take heed. Listen carefully. But he also spoke these words to the believers, to the child of God who repented of his sins and trusts in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, as the words of admonition and comfort and encouragement. Admonition to stay awake spiritually while we're waiting for him, and encouragement and comfort as we face all the trials and the temptations of this evil, sinful world. Just about every fall in our worship services, our sermons, and our scripture readings, we have texts that talk about the last days, the end of time, Christ's return. Do you get excited when you hear that? That may seem like a funny question, but it's not. Are we continually preparing our hearts by reading and hearing his word, confessing our sins, looking alone to Jesus, and constantly keeping our eyes focused upon heaven so that we see Jesus someday coming back with joy and expectation? Well, I guess we'll have to admit that there are a lot of things that excite us more than that. Last night's Brewers playoff game, for example. Probably far more exciting than thinking about end times. What's the reason for that? Well, there are probably many reasons, which we'll talk about later on in our sermon. But we have to admit, we aren't as excited when we talk about Jesus' return. But we should be. Our text this morning tells us that eternal life is at stake. our eternal future is all involved in Christ's return. So what will keep us excited? What will keep us awake, alert, excited, prepared for 60, 80 or more years of life? Only one thing. And that's the thing that lasts forever. The Word of God. It's the most powerful force in this world. Far more powerful than any nuclear bomb or laser beam. For it's that powerful word that not only created the world, but creates faith in a spiritually dead heart, that announces forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, that destroys Satan's power over us, gives us strength to say no to temptation, and yes to Jesus. The world will last forever. This world's baseball, football, shopping, working, playing, it's all going to come to an end. The word never passes away. And so this morning, Jesus directs us to his word, and his word this morning encourages us to watchfulness. Watchfulness by showing us a lesson from the past applied to the present concerning our future. Every once in a while we hear of someone who predicts the end of the world. That's not only foolish nonsense, it's unscriptural. For in our text this morning, Jesus clearly states that no one knows when the end is going to come. Not the angels. When Jesus was here on this earth in his state of humiliation, he didn't even know. Now, exalted Christ, he knows. Heavenly Father knows. And there's a reason why the Lord did not tell us exactly when Jesus will come again. By not knowing, it impresses upon us the necessity of being watchful. This necessity of being prepared, of being faithful all the time. The lesson from the past that we have applied to us this morning is the story, the lesson of the flood. We read again Jesus' words. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The day of Noah's days were a lot like our days today. Immorality was rampant. Gross materialism filled the hearts of the people. They lived for this life, burying themselves in the worldly cares and the concerns of this life. As long as their needs were being met, that's all they cared about. They had little thought about eternity. But in a sense, it was really worse than our day. For as God looked at the time of Noah's day and looked at the people, he found eight believers who still trusted in and looked forward to the coming of the promised Messiah. What happened? Didn't the people know about the Lord? Didn't they know there was going to be coming this great flood? Now they heard. The Apostle Peter called Noah a preacher of righteousness. No doubt from the very day that the Lord said to Noah, I'm going to flood this world and destroy everything on it except for you and your family, he began to proclaim to the people and warn them, this adulterous generation, turn from your ways, repent of your sins. But they didn't listen. They didn't heed their word. They were apathetic to God's word. A feeling, no motion, no interest, no excitement, completely indifferent. When we look back at that time of the flood in the book of Genesis, we read these words. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So what do you think God sees today when he looks down upon this earth? Looks at you and looks at me. He sees the same thing. He sees violence, wickedness, corruption, immorality, sin, people living indulgently only for this life. How do most people respond to the message that someday God's going to come and judge all people and destroy the world? Most often with a yawn. Most churches today are thrilled when they get 50% and are half filled with people. There's probably more people last night in the bars than there are this morning in churches listening to God's word. What's more important? The here and now or the hereafter? To most people, the answer is simple. It's the here and now. If I can't touch it or feel it, if I can't taste it, if I can't play with it, if I can't use it, if I can't wear it, if I can't work with it, what good is it? An apathetic, indifferent feeling toward God's word. And so the Bible says, in Noah's day, they were eating and drinking and feasting and giving in marriage, and then suddenly the end came. Today we'd say, well, they were eating and drinking and sleeping and working, watching TV, going to movies, surfing the net, playing with their electronics, and then suddenly the end will come. The main point of our lesson this morning is the suddenness of Judgment Day and to be prepared, watchful, ready. God planned the flood and told Moses 120 years before it took place. He gave the people of Noah's day 120 years of grace for them to hear God's word. And maybe some did turn during that time, turn to the Lord, but the majority rejected it. They refused to listen. No doubt made fun of Noah making this building, this great big huge boat on dry ground. No way. A flood all over the world? That's just not going to happen. And the rain fell. And fell. And fell. And we're told the earth broke open and geysers from below shot forth water. And the water rose. And rose and rose until it covered the highest mountains. Imagine all the screams of fear and fright and terror as people were scrambling to try and stay afloat. Maybe even people cursing God in hatred as they were carried away into their watery graves. And even as the flood came and suddenly came upon those unsuspecting, unprepared, unbelieving, apathetic people, so also the Lord says, the end of time will come too, upon all people. And when it comes, there will be that separation, believers from the unbelievers, or as Jesus says, the sheep from the goats. In our text, we read, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. One will be taken to the Lord to live with him forever in heaven, and the other left for eternal damnation. One will be taken to live in that mansion of a heavenly home, and the other in the prison of eternal damnation. The sound of the trumpet, the sight of God's holy angels, and Jesus in all of his full-blown glory and splendor, then it will be too late. Too late to say, oh, I wanted to. I planned on my priorities changing. I always thought I'd get involved in Jesus and maybe come to church. I thought there'd always be more time. Just like in Noah's day, people then run to and fro, calling upon the mountains, cover them, the hills, to hide them. And just like in Noah's day, there was no escape from the flood. All will be gathered before the judgment seat of Jesus. The believer in Christ on that day will rejoice. Because a believer in Christ, those who repent of their sins and been brought to trust in Jesus alone for forgiveness, life, and salvation, will be clothed in a white robe of righteousness, Christ's righteousness. And Jesus will declare them to be not guilty, innocent, righteous in his shed blood. The hymn writer caught this day very, very well when he wrote, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who art to my charge shall lay? Fully through these absolved I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame." But for the unbeliever that got called before the judgment seat of Christ, there is no Savior. There is no substitute. There is no sacrifice for their sins. They live for themselves in life, and now they die for themselves in death. They stand before God with a blackened robe, sin-blackened heart of unbelief, and enter eternal damnation. Are we ready? Are you prepared? Are you watchful? That glorious coming day of our Savior. Jesus has given this world almost 2,000 years of warning. As we heard in our text, I'm coming soon. I'm coming quickly. We may not call it quickly and soon, but Jesus indeed is coming. Will it catch us unawares, unprepared, unfaithful, unrepentant, unclothed in Christ's righteousness? Not if we are in the Word. Not if we have our daily devotions. Not if we come to hear the Word of God in our church services, Bible class, read the Word of God, have that gospel message in our heart that assures us of forgiveness and life and salvation alone through Jesus. Then our heart will be led to repent of our sins, keep watch over our life, and keep our eyes focused on our Savior's return. May this morning be the continuing activity of us with fervent, zealous, eager hearts and eyes watching and waiting for our Savior's return, ever willing to live for him because he lived for us, and eagerly waiting to live with him who lived for us. Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. Forever with the Lord. O Father, 'tis thy will. The promise of that faithful word, even here, to me fulfill. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our returning Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.